Beside him his little sister was sniffing. Her face was barely visible below her woolen bonnet and above her coat collar. He held her hand in his, as she tottered along unquestioningly. She looked so frail, worse than him, and winter was only just beginning. There never seemed to be enough broth, and the portions they had were mostly from vegetables. It didn't fill his belly, yet there was meat in the butcher's. Townsfolk walked along with them as the church bell pealed incessantly, summoning them. His sister's wooden clogs made dull rapping sounds against the cobbles. They were full with water, swelling her small white feet and making the sores worse. Da earned a good wage labouring in the squire's fields, but there was never any extra money to spend on food. The worn penny piece with Queen Victoria's face was clutched in his free hand, destined for the smiling, warmly dressed pastor. It just didn't seem right. "Please," Horgan called, weaker now, thoughts bruised by the pain. Garrett slid in towards the boy. I'll help," he lied. Light trickled through from the far end of the tunnel, flickering and shifting, glowing like sunlight shining through stained glass into a dusty church. But the other spirits were promising the boy salvation as well. Cold claimed the whole world. There was no such thing as warmth, not even inside the stiff, stinking furs. In the distance the ice wall glared a dazzling silver white as the sun beat upon it. The others of the tribe were spread out across the grassy plain, sloshing their way through ice-mushed puddles, and glimpsed up ahead through the tall, swaying spires of grass was the mammoth. "Come then, Darriot," Ross Nash called. Darriot saw his thoughts take form, become harder, as groping fingers of energy reached for him. He was strengthened from the touch, given weight, given volume. Hurtling past the other spirits, victory rapturous in his mind, they howled and cursed as he was sucked down and down, faster in. Even midnight blackness was a sight to rejoice. Eyelids blinked away, tears of joy. Pain was glorious because it was real. He moaned at the wounds scored across his thin body, and felt a strange sensation of dry fluid bathe his skin. It flowed where his mind directed, so he put forth his will and watched the lacerations close. Yes! Oh, my darling Anastasia, you were right all along, and I always doubted at the core in my secret spirit. What have I done? Kira smiled scornfully down at him. Now you will forget your feeble quest for revenge against Rubra, and work with us to capture Magellanic ITG's Blackhawks with your affinity, so we may spread ourselves across the stars. Because to lose now will mean returning to the incarceration of the Beyond. You were there for 15 seconds, Darriot. Next time, it will be forever. Ione didn't sleep. Her body was drowsy and her eyelids were heavy enough to remain closed, but her mind floated at random through the habitat's perception images. She reacquainted herself with favorite slices of landscape, checking on the residents as they slumbered or partied or worked their way through the small hours. Young children were already stirring, yawning staff arrived at the restaurants which served breakfast. Starships came, and a lower number than normal went from the spaceport outside. A couple of oddball scavenger craft were rising slowly out of the ruin ring along home and transfer orbits, which would bring them to an eventual rendezvous with the habitat. Metchisco was 90% full, its ochre on saffron storm bands bold against the starfield. 5 of its 7 major moons were visible, various lackluster crescents strung out across the ring plain. Far inside the gossamer ribbon of the ruin ring, 2 dozen blackhawks were rushing towards the gas giant's equator on a mating flight. 3 eggs had already been ejected into Merchusco's thick inner rings. She listened to their awed, inquisitive exchanges with the blackhawks who had helped stabilize them. Whilst racing on ahead, their dying parent radiated sublime gratification. Life goes on, Ione thought, even in dire times like these. A subroutine pervading the lakeside house warned her Dominic was approaching the bedroom. She dismissed the habitat perception and opened her eyes. Clement was lying on the furred air mattress beside her, mouth open, eyes tight shut, snoring softly. Ione recalled the night fondly. He was a good lover, enthusiastic, knowledgeable, slightly selfish, but that was most likely due to his age. And for all the enjoyment, he wasn't Joshua.